What is up, everyone? Welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 212. I'm Justin. That's Marty. That man over there, sexy beard. That's Jesse Waldeck. What are we going to do today? We're going to talk about some Nintendo news. Hey, I might throw my predictions. I'm not, it's not a might. I'm going to throw my predictions. We're going to talk about some game release schedules and why the heck is there not a Nintendo Direct? So much more. Tune in, hit subscribe, listen, and Jesse, hit the music.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is the Nintendo Dads coming at you with episode 212, as you've already heard Justin say. My name is Marty Estes, and today is January the 10th. As you're listening to this, January the 11th, 2019, and we are here with all the Nintendo news you can handle and maybe just a little bit more. Sitting over here in the orange shirt that I love so much, rocking the beard. Straight from Kansas City, Mr. Jesse Waldeck. How are you, buddy?
Greetings. Doing good. I have a funny story to share real quick.
Go for it.
During lunch, I went upstairs, got a bottle of, it was like a half of a 20 ounce of a Diet Dr. Pepper. Opened it up, took a drink, and I'm like, oh, something's wrong with this. It tastes like cough syrup or something. My wife's looking at me with a funny grin on her face. She goes, where'd you get that? I said, oh, top shelf of the fridge. She goes, oh, that had whiskey in it.
Wow.
I'm like, I hope
you weren't. And the rest of Jesse's afternoon was fantastic.
Right?
No, I didn't feel anything. I don't drink. So that's why I noticed something was weird. But I didn't feel anything.
It's just, of course you didn't.
It just tasted awful.
Speaking of whiskey.
I thought you were going to say, Justin Masson,
how are you, buddy?
Speaking of, well. Good?
No, I thought you were going to say, speaking of not feeling things. I was like, that's fine, too. I'm emotionally dead inside. I appreciate that. It's good. I hope everyone enjoyed my stumble of an open, right? It was kind of trying something new, trying something a bit different. I mean, after 212 episodes of kind of the same opening, I wanted to kind of give it a fun little flavor, much like your Dr. Pepper, a fun little flavor there, Jesse.
Not fun.
You know what I would say? Little, again, we're a parent, we're a family friendly show. If you enjoy a little bit of a change to your whiskey, perhaps. Now, Ireland is known for their whiskey. I have become a bit of more of a whiskey drinker since living here. So this is a little bit of.
People would have been enjoying the fun. Yeah. Me, unfun.
Take a little bit of whiskey in a short cup, and then adding some ginger ale into it, and a couple slices of lime, and you've made yourself a whiskey ginger. And I will tell you, that is a beautiful, refreshing drink that I had several of during the holidays.
Sounds like three layers of luck to me.
This is Justin's drinking quarter. Thanks for attending.
Speaking of the holidays,
I like ginger with my food. I'm not a fan of drinking ginger.
Justin,
yes.
I'm glad you're back because I haven't seen you since last year.
That joke didn't go over last week's episode either. It shouldn't go over this episode.
We're gonna work it into every episode.
Every
this
episode
here.
Maybe when Zach comes back,
we got Zach coming.
Yeah, we got a couple of guests probably in the future, right? We got we'll bring on Roger and.
We haven't seen you since last year.
Hashtag dad jokes.
Yeah, it's old. It's time. I had to. It's like a mandate.
That's okay. Speaking of
what else we have to do, Justin?
We have to
talk about some news.
We do have to do that. We do.
So let's get right into that, shall
we? Let's do it.
And as always, our news is brought to us by you over at patreon.com. All of our patrons help each and every day and each and every month continue to support great Nintendo Dads content, just like the show, just like all kinds of other stuff, just like the brand new pre-show gaming that we just had right before the show, where we played some Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with some patrons, and we are excited about all of the changes going on over there. Justin, why don't you, just for a minute, talk about some of those changes that are going on over at patreon.com/NintendoDads.
Yes, absolutely. So we have made some changes to our tier levels to kind of help us meet our goals a little bit more. And I think to deliver a little bit more effectively in what we're doing. Now, even before I actually jump into that, I would be remiss if I did not mention our newest Patreon subscriber, M. Brittle. Thank you so much for your subscription and your support there, and actually some editing of donations as well. John Blanco has moved up into now an executive producer level. Thank you so much. And Andrew Fusco, is adjusted that pledge as well. So thank you so much. We've made some changes in Marty. It's early on in the morning. You want to remind me some of those changes that we did make, so keep me honest here.
I was throwing it to you so that I could, you know, clear my throat since I'm still getting over this cold. No, we did make some changes. The biggest one of which is bringing back the $15 tier to our Patreon, which we were asked by Patreon to get rid of not long ago because we were kind of breaking the rules.
I can hear those air quotes again.
Yeah, we were.
I actually said nicely. That at work. I'm like, those are air quotes, aren't they? And she goes, I did them. How did you tell?
So
I can hear them.
Basically, here's how the tiers at Patreon break down now. For a dollar a month, you get access to the Discord server where we chat and hang out all day long. You get access to what's called the Animal Crossing Plaza, which is a collection of I guess what you would call entry channels. Let's Play is there, all of our console discussion, different things like that. You also get to officially be a Nintendo dad, mom, kid, bunny, piranha plant, whatever. Right. The DK Island tier is $5 a month. And with that, you get the same thing as the Animal Crossing tier, but you also get access to all of the Discord channels, including the lobby where we just have general conversation and most people spend their time, as well as channels like parenting/adulting, After Dark, and spoilers and all kinds of game specific channels, as well as wallpapers and all kinds of fun stuff like that.
And a tournament.
$10 a month is the Zeebus tier, and that is the same as above, except you get the pre and post show audio tracks that we record when we are getting ready to come on air for this show and after we've been on air for this show. $15 is the Hyrule tier, and this is the biggest change to the Patreon. You get all of that in the first three tiers, plus a hangout with the Nintendo dads and access to exclusive Patreon-only videos that are going to be early access for people at this tier and above. So basically what that means is there are going to be some videos that come out throughout the year, including Retro Rewind and others that Gary is working on, that will only be available to $15 and up patrons for a short time before they're available to everyone else. Then there's the $30 tier, which is the Patreon producer Mushroom Kingdom tier. And for that, you get on the show once a quarter, or we bring on one of those Patreon producers once a quarter, and they get to bring one topic to the show that we have to discuss. You'll also be mentioned in the closing credits. And this is new, receive exclusive digital artwork, which represents the hottest topic from that quarter.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some changes that we think help streamline our content a little bit easier. And helps keep us on the air. So I didn't want to, you know, run down the Patreon rabbit hole much further. But guys, thank you everyone who supports us. And if you have any questions about this, of course, head over to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/NintendoDads. Now, what I will say for the last final part for our patrons, if you have not, ladies and gentlemen, do check your inbox, because I have sent out today a digital exclusive artwork for every single Patreon supporter. That's over the 90 people who support us. It's in your inbox. Check it out. Thank you so much. Just a little bit of a fun inside joke part as well.
And with that with that artwork being in your inbox, we now know what was driving everyone crazy in the Bird Box.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Should we
jump into this? Some people love it. Some people made them kill themselves.
I haven't seen this yet, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it'll be good.
I'll have to look
anyway,
in my inbox.
Let's talk about some news. How about that?
Want to do news? Let's do news.
Yeah, let's do it. Nintendo, this is probably the biggest story of this week. Nintendo was supposed to have a Direct. Well, we say supposed to, right? At least the internet thought they were going to have a Nintendo Direct, and they didn't. What Nintendo did do, however, is starting a couple of days ago, began to put out random press releases and tweets updating us on progress of titles we already knew about. And so let's dive in and let's talk about some of these updates and some of these things that that they talked about, including brand new NES Online titles and updates on Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn and Yoshi's Crafted World. To begin with, the release date on those two games is now March of 2019. Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn launches on March 9th, and Yoshi's Crafted World launches on March 29th. I'm sorry, Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn launches March 8th. And they also dropped a story trailer for Yoshi's Crafted World on their YouTube page at the same time, and details about Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, which are very few.
They use the word story loosely, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm really important that Nintendo. I'm thankful Nintendo released that, because I don't think without that 2 minute trailer up ahead, I would have been able to figure out the Crafted Yoshi storyline. It's just too complex for me.
Well, it is some next level story
start anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's very very dark and deep and moody.
Yeah, I've. Who would have thought that if you killed a Yoshi and stabbed it in its heart, it just goozes out green blood? I didn't think that. But, I mean, that, sure enough, Nintendo shows us that in the trailer. Amazing.
Did you see the same
game? I mean, they just went straight for the money shot.
Exactly.
So these games are going to be out in March. Justin, what do you, like, why did they do it this way? Why just press releases and little trailers? I could kind of understand it for Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, seeing as how it's a port of a Wii game.
Sure.
To the 3DS. But Yoshi's Crafted World is, or should be, a pretty big game for them, especially considering how much praise Yoshi's Woolly World got and how good it was.
Yeah, didn't we see Crafted World like 2 E3s ago that had pretty detailed information, and then nothing for a year?
Yeah, Crafted.
It kind of feels like
In 2017.
It kind of feels like they're not giving it its due here. So why do you think this is going on like this?
Well, I think it's interesting, right? I actually think this requires us to take a step back and look a little bit more, not just in that press release, but the drips and drabs surrounding this week regarding the Nintendo Direct. And of course, we were one of the pundits or enthusiast groups that predicted that Direct would be coming. And this was kind of based on past history, in that in the last 2 years, Nintendo has had a Direct this week, actually, or communication or presentation this week. And the fact that the last communication or Direct that Nintendo's had with showing us what their content was, other than the November dedicated Smash Direct, I believe was October or September. So relatively quiet. The other component of it is that really, other than Super Mario U Deluxe Switch Edition that comes out tomorrow or today, we had no firm dates for any actual games by Nintendo. So this kind of led us to say, Nintendo's very good of saying, hey, very early on in the year, let me show you, let's provide to you kind of a roadmap of what we're going to be releasing in the next several months up to E3 to get you hyped. And that's typically what they'll do. They'll show you the next 3 to 6 months of content to remind you, hey, it's on our radar. And there are a lot of games, a lot of hanging strings out there that Nintendo does need to answer. So, I mean, you think of games that, again, these are games that are known to have, you know, 2019 dates under them, but not an actual hard date, right? So a loose date. And so we think of stuff like, obviously, Yoshi's an example, Fire Emblem's an example, Animal Crossing, Luigi. Those are definite 2019 games, or that we've been shown, Nintendo has said 2019. Deus Ex Machina is another example. And then you've got some other threads that are hanging out there, such as Metroid and Bayonetta, which we don't have an actual firm year on yet, but rather just a, hey, they're in production. So Nintendo has a pretty large slate of content available to us that we haven't shown. So it was logical, I think, to come to this point and say, hey, this is what we don't have information. We're looking to have that. The other component of information that we didn't have at that point either was the Nintendo Switch Online games that were coming to the NES system as well.
Right.
So there was a lot of kind of hanging kind of threads out there that said the timing, let's say, is relatively perfect for this. So in your commentary there, Marty, and I am kind of getting the point here in a couple moments though, but you know, we knew that Yoshi was coming up, and I do think, you know, if we look at Yoshi from a from a content perspective, I think this direct would be heavy into Yoshi, right? It would kind of be, I use the word anchor or pillar to the direct. Like, this needs to be something you need to reveal. You need to start getting hype about it. You need to start having a conversation about it. You need to be able to build some momentum. So I think that was definitely one that they would, that would kind of anchor down the direct, right? Then you've got the fact that, hey, we don't know what the NES online game is going to be for January, February, March. We don't know any of those games. So you need to start telling us those stories. Plus, hey, by the way, why don't you tell us about Kirby? There's that story. You've also got, you know, other indies that you could be promoting and talking about. So there's a bunch of kind of hanging threads there. Now, what we also saw then this week is yesterday, and this is kind of, you know, spoiling the lead, I guess, a little bit, or this week, we've seen a bunch of other games officially get announced that were relatively big ones. Dragon's Dogma is launching on March 23rd. Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, is coming to Switch on April 30th. And Final Fantasy X and XII are coming on April 16th. Now, those three games alone, you could have put in a Nintendo Direct and said, by the way, here are the dates for this, this, and this. So it feels like there may have actually been something on the horizon or direct planned, and then either fell apart and they said, well, just PR, press release everything out. So I wonder if something just kind of fell apart at the last minute. Again, these, just where these were placed in the week, how they were announced, makes me think that there was something bigger that just kind of fell apart last minute. I do suspect that we will get a direct from Nintendo in the coming weeks. Maybe it's the end of January, maybe it's beginning of February, to begin telling that story, right? They need to begin setting up what we need to begin to kind of get excited for, for 2019. And again, this will bring us up to E3. They're not going to really show us anything beyond E3. But I would say, you know, is there a first party or third party game in February? There typically is a first party game in February that I think usually gets us excited. So where is that game? You know, again, if we're thinking the first half of this year, I do suspect we're going to get Fire Emblem. I suspect that's going to be in May, May. Yeah. And then I think, I mean, I'm willing to bet you that we're going to get a Mario sports multiplayer-esque game of some sort around June, around the E3 marker as well. And then you've got other hanging threads out there, like, you know, you've got Wargroove, you've got Super Meat Boy Forever, you've got a ton of indie content and a ton of third parties who are now jumping on board as well, that's supporting it. So it doesn't feel like it's a lack of content. It's more the messaging and structure around that content that they need to kind of sort out. But we wave here as Nintendo enthusiasts and fans and say, like, where's our director? But Nintendo will control their own messaging when they do. Again, I don't think this indicates it's a dangerous year for Nintendo or is anything's in trouble for 2019. Just a different approach that I would have thought they would have done as a direct.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that the two Final Fantasy games are coming out so close to each other.
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of surprised that they're leading with those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not. Because 7 and 9, well, 9's kind of been redone a few times. And I think both of them are still coming out in other systems, so they're just not fully ready yet. But, you know, 12 has been out on PS4 in 2017, and XMX 2 was on PS3 and Vita. So they're still had a fresh version of the code baking around. I'm not surprised I'm here first. But, you know, if I didn't play Final Fantasy 12 in 2017, I'd be interested. But, you know, I'm not ready to play that again, so it's okay. I'm thinking about maybe getting the XX2 and play, because I have never played X2, even though I bought it 3 times. So I'll buy it again and actually play it this time.
You know, before this week, when they put out these tweets about this and dropped the press releases, especially about Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, I had forgotten that game is coming out.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's been interesting their kind of tale with Kirby and how they got to where they are, right? And I think to your point, well, I mean, it was originally revealed, like I said, in E3 2017. So we're almost 2 years, right? We're at least 18 months since that initial conversation around it. So it does feel like, has it been overbaked? What's the deal with it exactly? So it'll be interesting to see what Nintendo finally reveals when it does, does the final launch with it.
Do you think that because Bowser's Inside Story is coming out tomorrow as well for the 3DS, do you and Kirby is now coming out in March, How many more 3DS releases do you think we'll see in 2019? Because I know that you're one of those people who are like, it's got to keep going. It's, you know, they're gonna keep going with it, and we'll talk a little bit more about 3DS later on in the show and what's going on with it in Japan. But like, legitimately, since they've not announced anything past Extra Epic Yarn,
right?
How many titles do you think that we'll see in
2019? So I actually, interestingly enough, that's actually one of my predictions for 2019. That is one of my predictions in relation to the 3DS. I think you will see approximately, you know, no more than seven 3DS games being launched in 2019. And you're like, whoa, Justin, seven? That's outrageous. Well, we already know of Mario and Luigi. We already know of Epic Yarn, and we already know of Yo-Kai Watch 3.
Oh, yeah, that's out there.
So that's three. So will Nintendo release four more 3DS games in 2019? Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
It's yep. a coin toss.
How many did they release in 2018?
I'm sorry, my statement is less than seven. Less than seven. 2018, I'd have to go back in the count, but I think they were near the same number. Were they not?
I'm checking our release schedule.
Mario and Luigi. Superstar count. Saga. There was Dylan's Rolling Western.
Yeah.
WarioWare Gold.
Yeah.
Did Samus Returns come out in 2018?
No, it was the year before.
Okay, so that was the year before. Kirby, so there's Battle three.
Royale. Kirby Battle Royale.
Okay.
Yoshi. Or sorry, Luigi.
Luigi's Mansion. That's five.
Did you count Detective Pikachu?
Detective Pikachu, set six.
Six.
Does
that really count, though, since it had been out for so long in Japan?
Yeah, it's a North American release.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I seven would probably be the cap with less than seven, potentially.
Treasure Tracker?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Yeah, you're right.
Seven. There's seven right there.
WarioWare Gold.
I mentioned that one already.
Okay. Two copies of Yo-Kai Watch.
Yo, can't watch Blasters. That's right. Came out.
Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Mention that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all of them.
Okay, so eight. So seven or less is a fair assessment. I'll give you that.
And you don't potentially think that maybe the November Pokemon game might also have a 3DS launch?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Considering how much has been made over the fact that the Pokemon Company CEO said that developing this for the Switch was hard for them as they had to learn to make the transition over. I don't think that they'll try to do two games. Absolutely not. Let's just go ahead and talk about two games,
just not two systems.
Yeah, right. Let's just go ahead and talk about this. Nintendo Life reported earlier this week that the 3DS is dying a slow death in Japan. As titles are beginning to sell, these are AAA, these are Nintendo first-party titles. Titles are selling less than 10,000 units in their opening week of sales.
Yeah, I heard like Persona Q2 didn't sell hardly anything. Though, yeah, that's niche, but still, it's Japan, the land of niche.
Well, exactly. So I'm pulling up this article right now as we talk about this. Because I want to throw some numbers out here. Recent figures from Famitsu, this is what the article said, show that Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story and Bowser Jr.'s Journey launched in the region just after Christmas and only managed to shift 9,178 copies in the opening week. For sake of comparison, the last entry in the series, which was in 2015, which was Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, sold almost 50,000 units in that same period of time.
So what games are they comparing?
Bowser's Inside Story Mario and Luigi Paper Jam.
Yeah. So it's a remake, so yeah, I can see why people aren't interested in it as much as when it was new in the DS. And as I said before, people will go ape about new hardware still, but they don't want the software. They want to play on the Switch.
Well, and alternately here, let's look at this one. Luigi's Mansion has only sold 82,000 copies in just over 2 months on sale in Japan.
Remake.
Despite the fact that they're they're hyping for Luigi's Mansion 3 though.
Well, and that's a new game that will sell well.
On its Dengeki reports that on its launch day, Luigi's Mansion sold through only 20% of its initial shipment. So, the reason I bring this up and the reason I want to talk about this is this point. I don't think that Nintendo is going to release any more new games for 3DS. I think they're going to be ports, or I think that they're going to be versions of games that are also being released on the Switch at the same time, like Captain Toad, like Sushi Striker. If that's the case, why not just let it go?
Games that are ported from the Wii U, those probably still sell well because again, no one bought the Wii U. But
they're going to port all the Wii U games to the Switch.
There's 100 million because
they're selling like gangbusters.
There's 130 million DSs out there. You need to remake one of those games? People have already played them. Those are remakes that are needed to be remade.
But the thing is, besides Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, they're not putting any games from the Wii U on the 3DS.
Right, but those are the only games that will probably sell. Any other types of ports won't, is the issue. They haven't gotten that yet. They probably have now.
I'm going to say it now. I'm going to throw this out here. I don't think Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn is going to do well at all.
No, because it's a port.
But that's my point is, left? Justin's prediction is true.
It's a port of a Wii U game, so that gives it a little bit of an edge because, again, no one bought the Wii U.
No, it's a port of a Wii game.
It's part of a Wii game.
Oh, then it won't sell. It tells you how much I play Kirby games.
That's the thing is like, say Justin's prediction is true. Let's just lean into that. Seven games. So far we're getting Yo-Kai Watch 3. That's a new game. We're getting
Extra Epic Yarn total.
What?
Seven games that'll sell 60,000 copies.
Right. We're getting Extra Epic Yarn and we're getting Mario and Luigi. Those are two remakes and one new game. If the other four are ports or remakes, why even bother? Like, I get the install base is there, but if they're not selling, and it's not even selling in Japan, where 3DS used to reign supreme, then I just
even,
like...
Even they've converted to the Switch. They want their software Switch.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, I know that people listen to the show and they think that I hate the 3DS, but I don't, because when I wasn't playing my Wii U, because there were no games, the 3DS was the thing that kept my Nintendo love alive, you know, because at least there was a schedule of releases there for the most part, things that I got excited about, but I just don't want to carry around two portables.
Right. Yeah, well,
there's
point. One of my predictions from last week was that there will be a 3DS successor separate from the Switch. But I don't know how well it'll do because they're competing with their own market.
Right. I mean, Nintendo is kind of eliminated competition here to the point that there is no market for handheld.
Well,
because the Switch is cannibalizing their market.
Right. They've cannibalized their own market, but I don't want to keep beating on this kind of dead horse. But like, when you've got an install base as large as you do for the 3DS.
Please understand.
You know, you need to ensure that the, you know, installment base for the Switch has surpassed that. You are not going to just kill off something because here's the thing. Despite the fact that it's not selling, the games aren't selling great, you still have a revenue stream coming in from the 3DS. Regardless of whether the new games are selling well, there are so many 3DSs still in the wild. You're an example of this, Marty. You went out and you bought Luigi, right?
I did, because I like that game.
There you go. So guess what? There's a ton of other Nintendo fans out there who like games like that who might go out and install. So if we can put out a game every once in a while that makes you trigger on that game, guess what? That's money in their pocket, right? And that money allows them to be successful in other areas. Is it dying? Yes. Do I think this next year, 2019, is its last year? Maybe. right? But you're not going to, like, if everyone's expecting for, like, the president or Reggie to walk and be like, officially, June 1st, the 3DS is dead. Let's all have a party. That's not going to happen. It will be a slow sunset on it. They will, you know, have 3DS sales, and they'll have eShop sales because they want that continual stream of revenue coming in.
Okay.
Money is money.
I know money is money, but I think they can make more money if they'll just go ahead and say Switch is it. We're going to remake Luigi's Mansion and we're going to put it on the Switch for $60. Come buy it.
You don't think
the same people who are popping $30 or $40 on the 3DS to buy Luigi's Mansion because it's nostalgia, because they love that game, are going to spend the extra $20 and buy it on the Switch.
Marty, give your head a shake. They're going to make you do that again in 3 years from now. Nintendo is artful at making you buy games you have already paid for several times before. They're going to release the Luigi's Definitive Edition trilogy in 4 years from now, where it has all of them on one cart that you're playing, and you'll be like, "Oh, I'm going to buy that." That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I think I counted. I owned Zelda 2 at one point or another 6 times over, and then we're getting it again next week.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway, Tim off in the chat says, "For the love of God, they need a system for kids who aren't old enough for the Switch, don't they?"
Yep.
And I said, "Yeah, that's why I think there will be a handheld successor, but it won't sell as well because adults won't want it."
Yeah, it's, you know, now, advice. Yeah, now it is interesting, since we've come off the holidays, the amount of kids that I know, and you know, I'm saying this loosely, between the ages of 8 and 10 who got Nintendo Switches for Christmas is quite high. But I still think you need that entry-level safe kind of system. And
there's the kicker. No kid wants a 3DS. They don't.
No, probably not.
No kid that I know, and I work with kids on a weekly basis, no kid that I know is saying, "Man, I got a 3DS for Christmas, and it's awesome."
Yeah.
No, you know what they're all saying? "I got a Switch, and it rocks."
Yeah.
So why? I get it. You know, but here, and this is my thing, I know Nintendo is a family company, and I know we sit and we talk about the family aspect of this, but Microsoft and Sony kill it without having a console for kids. They play the PlayStation and they play the Xbox.
Okay.
Tim says in a new successor, they need a new name. So they need to get out of the Wii moniker.
They need to get out of the DS.
They need to get out of everything.
You're grinning like I'm an idiot.
I don't want them to go
Switch Junior, because that's just stupid.
We circle this like every like 4 weeks about the death of the 3DS.
And one of these days, you all realize how long it is for this system to still be alive.
And that's about as often as you're on the show, Justin.
Yeah, but the problem is you are only advocating from this as a fanboy. You are not advocating or thinking of from a business perspective where money is good, right? Because here's the thing. You can leave the Switch, you can leave the 3DS alive. Like, you don't need to put a gravestone on it and still put out games. And guess what? People are still going to buy it. So if you can still bring money in through that channel and it's low effort and low work, then guess what? You're still going to use that revenue. They are not going to kill a system that they are still making money on, like actively making money on. It doesn't make sense. And you don't have an install rate high enough yet for the Switch. Now, if the Switch can say you're at 60,000 install, right? If you can create or match the number closer to the 3DS, then they may say yes fully out. But I still think if you look at Nintendo's way of the company, they will always have a kid entry device. Now, Jesse, you're right. It may be that. They may have a kid-friendly Switch Junior. We'll use that moniker for now, shall we? That fills that gap. They may absolutely, and there are pundits out there that think that could occur. I don't say they're wrong, but they're not going to kill the 3DS until they introduce that idea as well, right? You will never see this as a standalone by itself where they only have one system, right? If the 3DS or Switch Junior exists, then they're going to introduce the Switch Junior, then they're going to kill off the 3DS. And so long as idiots like us buy a game on a 3DS every year, one or two, they're making money.
It's not as much the games. It's whenever they put out a special edition and all the people go nuts over the hardware.
Well, that is exactly it, right? How many versions and special editions did they put out? You look at the amount of people who do that for the Nintendo Switch, right? Oh, I bought the Super Smash Brothers one. The dock has a deckle. The Pokemon one has a deckle. Like, are you like?
Has the cross on the controller.
It's low hanging fruit, and if the president of the company has to stand up there and talk about their returns and their stock, and they're saying, by the way, to their investors, and saying, by the way, we're going to kill the device that has a higher install base than the other device by at least 100%, it is madness. Until that is fully dead, until they have literally squeezed the financial life out of the 3DS and they aren't making any more pennies off that thing, they're not killing it yet. As much as you may hate it, wish it to die, it will still exist.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, I cannot disagree with your argument. What I can't do is say that I like it or that I think that it's a good strategy. I don't understand it. I get it from the money perspective. That's fine. What I don't understand from the non-money perspective is that you are using manpower and you are using ideas and you are continuing to shovel software onto a system of diminishing returns.
Yeah, and I agree. And here's the thing, Marty, is I agree with that. Now, what I would support in that statement is the fact that, and I think it's a little bit to your statement, the ideas that are coming out of the Switch are not new, or sorry, the 3DS are not new ideas. These are ports, right? So when we're talking
about, I will be shocked if we see a new game this year.
Correct. I would agree with that. So when we're talking about manpower and ideas, the mind share, if you would, of what you're using, you're not saying, hey guys, I was thinking about doing a Super Mario Odyssey 2, but instead, who wants to go work on Yo-Kai Watch? Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not moving that mind share. For them to say, hey, here's ports, here's Epic Yarn, here's this or that, that's you farm that out to another third party development team who does that. Do you know what I mean? You're right. Not taking up your actual resourcing and time. Like, and maybe that's your
Zelda remakes.
Exactly. Or maybe that's your junior devs who are like, hey, this is a project to cut your teeth, right? Like you're not putting your A team on that stuff.
I mean, the thing is too, is that Nintendo is already like signaling this in that we're not seeing any, like, how long has it been since we've seen a virtual console release on the 3DS?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Too long.
And it's truly sad because that's the only place it exists anymore.
Right.
But that's the only place that it could get a new release.
Right. But I mean, I think that like Nintendo, even when they kind of like move on from another system to another system, they don't really move on. Like, was it not just this week or is it this month that the Wii eShop is finally shutting down?
The 31st of January, yes.
31st of January is when they're shutting that eShop down. Right. Think about that. That is that system has been passed on for almost what? Almost 10 years or since it was initially launched with 10 years. Right.
Like, launched like 2012.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty close. Right. So
about 7 years.
Yeah. So as long as like, it's like, hey, well, somebody's still here paying or somebody's here still turning the lights on and paying for games. As long as there's a little bit of a revenue share, they're going to keep a little bit of that market alive. Right. I mean, the Wii U is still, again, it's still a live system. It's not making money, right? But somebody's probably paying some money on an eShop or something there.
Well, it's not making money anymore because they got all the money that they wanted though, when they stopped allowing new points to be purchased back in March.
Right. Well, possibly. Somebody's buying Just Dance 2019 for the Wii U.
Pretty much any game still bought, you know, is just money out of Nintendo's pocket to pay for the royal
servers,
the third parties for their royalties.
Yeah.
Well, long and short, I know we say this a lot, but, and like you said, we've circled this discussion quite a bit. I think that like, this is the like first toll of the bell. Like, I guess, you know, seeing a report like this is one of those things where you say, okay, we're looking down the pike. Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn is the last game that's been announced for it. They barely spent any breath on it in the last Direct, you know, when they even talked about 3DS. It was like, boom, boom, all right, we're done. Let's go talk about the Switch. So the bells are beginning to toll a little bit. Yeah. Maybe they're in the distance, right?
And I would say with that, I think what this tells me more than anything else, and the indicator for Nintendo is probably that, yeah, the cultural shift has occurred. Do you know what I mean? We now have enough mind share. We have enough people who are interested in the Switch that it is a successful and viable solution that we can begin sunsetting the 3DS. But it's not like a hard, like, pull the life support now and it's dead.
Sure.
Right? Because
I think Nintendo, part of what they've got to come out of this from, okay, is that, yes, during the Wii, they didn't really need this, but for those critical Wii U years, they needed both systems.
Yeah.
Right? There were months and there were long stretches of time in the Wii U era where they had to have the 3DS
correct
to stay afloat. But now it's like, hey, Nintendo, you don't really have to have that anymore.
Well,
you know, you're turning the corner.
Yeah, but you also have to think of this, again, this is, you know, Justin's business corner here. It's a little bit of a conservative, Nintendo's a conservative business, right? Let's be honest about that one. But imagine this. If you kill off the 3DS and just say, we're just going with the Switch, this will be the first time in over 25 years that Nintendo has not had two systems, one being portable and one being home console, that are running at the same time, bring in different revenue streams, which allows for Nintendo to be successful. To your point, when the Wii U was failing and burning, right, they were able to still have a fair enough revenue and income coming off the 3DS because they have two streams. This is called diversification, right, of your investments, essentially. And okay. And right, it's the same idea, and we're going to get into this, right? It's the same idea where, in our news article, they made a lot of money off of mobile. Right. Is now, could mobile be the new 3DS? That, I think, is a more interesting question.
That is a good question.
Right. As opposed to, right, like, let's, like, the amount of money, and let's quickly open up the doc there. They made Nintendo's mobile revenue in 2018 was $348 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So what Nintendo's now going to do is they're going to look at that and say, how much did we make on the 3DS this last year? No, I don't have those figures. And they're going to say, how much did we make in 2017 on 3DS? And how much did we make in 2016? And by the way, is that number bigger? Are we making more money off of mobile now than we were 3DS? And if so, that's a good indicator as well for the bell to chime. Now, again, this is an example of diversification, right? You have a revenue stream from the Switch. You have a revenue stream from mobile. You have a revenue stream from the 3DS. And by the way, franchising and theme parks or whatever it is, right? The branding that he talks about. If you have that ability, you know, and you have different portfolios, if one of them fails, i.e. when the Wii U is failing, you still have enough revenue to come in to still support yourself and support your organization, right? And that was the crunch that Nintendo found themselves in during the Wii U. Now, the nice part is they have a large enough treasure chest that they can support themselves, or war chest they can support themselves. But, I mean, that was a hard spot for them to be in. Right. But they have diversified enough in the last couple of years that if they did actually pull, right, if they're going to pull the 3DS, then the mobile has to be strong enough to support that, if that's the method they're going to use.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something else.
I was going to say, before we do that, there was an article that came out saying Nintendo's mobile revenue for last year was almost $350 million.
Yeah.
So that's a good start. I didn't see the article. I didn't see if there was any breakdown of what games is doing what, but I imagine that sounds like they're happy with what they've gotten.
And when I said that, I didn't mean let's talk about something else literally. I was going to segue that into saying, let's talk about something else that I think is relevant to this topic. Nintendo's president this week was quoted as saying that the company is flexible when it comes to their future. And a lot of people began to ask, what does that mean? And a key quote taken from what he was saying is this. He said, it has been over 30 years since we started developing consoles. Nintendo's history goes back even farther than that. And through all the struggles that they faced, the only thing that they thought about was what to make next. In the long term, Perhaps our focus as a business should shift away from home consoles. Flexibility is just as important as ingenuity.
And this isn't
anything new. As Justin is talking about this diversification and having, you know, a large portfolio and a war chest of things, that just brought this quote to my mind. Now, this quote drove a lot of people bananas.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, because people have short-term memories. This isn't new. Do you remember the three words, quality of life?
Yeah.
You haven't heard that in probably 4 or 5 years, but yeah, it was a thing. They put R&D budget into trying to make stuff, never panned out, but... doesn't mean they're not trying.
Yeah, the vitality sensor and stuff right. like that. So
I wanted to see let's make heads or tails make this. It to market, but
let's make heads or tails of this for people who may not delve into this part of Nintendo or even want to think about this part. Does this mean that Nintendo is leaving the console business?
Absolutely, it does. Effective tomorrow, Nintendo is fully leaving the console business. You guys have heard it first here.
Switches are going on. Switch is dead. Tomorrow.
New prediction. Justin doesn't know what he's talking about.
My God, the amount of articles. Sorry, I know I have been ranting, and I don't know if it's because I haven't been in the podcast for a bit.
It is. You get ranty when you aren't here a lot.
But it's like, are you kidding me? People are like, Nintendo's getting out of the console business. No, they're not. They're not getting out of the console business. They haven't. What they're doing is they're diversifying their options to allow them the ability to be successful in the future. That's what they're doing. Like, give your head a shake, people. Honest to God, Nintendo makes a lot of money selling consoles. They make a lot of money selling the Switch.
Yeah, you see all these businesses that are no longer businesses? It's because they didn't plan ahead like Nintendo is trying to do.
Yeah, like, they're not getting out of this. Like, no. That just means they have an option. It means they're exploring different options. Now, what I've seen in Nintendo in the last 5 years-ish has been their understanding, their more appropriate and wiser understanding of how to use their brand and their IPs in an effective way to make money, right? And what I mean by that is the theme parks they're talking about, right? We're seeing movie ideas now. We're seeing, you know, Mario branding on franchises more. We're seeing that they're using those IPs in different ways to allow for more revenue streams to come in. They have one of the strongest IP video game IPs, I think, worldwide. I would argue anyone has probably stronger IP list than them, recognizable IP list, right? That is exclusive to them. So don't be like, well, Spider-Man. Yeah, well, Spider-Man's owned by Marvel. What I mean by this is Mario and Bowser, right? Recognizable figures that they can leverage that. And so they're leveraging that. We're seeing the mobile strategy.
I think they're
doing it conservatively. They're, you know, putting out one or two game mobile games a year, testing that out, making a lot of money off it.
I think what you're seeing here is less the only place you're going to see Link is a Nintendo console in a video game, and more, hey, we might make a Zelda movie.
Yep. Yeah.
We might license Zelda for some novels.
Exactly.
We might do some things outside of collectibles, clothing, and video games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. The sheer amount of people this week that I saw with the sky is falling, Nintendo is not going to make video games after the Switch was astounding to me.
And probably people are like, Justin sounds so angry. Right. I apologize. It's just like, it's a little
4 a.m.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's
5 a.m.
It's
now.
Like, it's just use your head. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's logically think about this. And the amount, to your point, Marty, the amount of people I saw spinning off of this of like, hey, Nintendo's out. Let's talk about that. What do you think? How's this going to happen? Like, you're like, no.
I mean, this is the company with a name that is synonymous for video game.
Yeah.
It's like here in the South, when everybody drinks a Coke, it can be anything.
But it's Coke, right? Yeah.
I mean, it could be a Pepsi, it could be a Coke, it could be a Dr. Pepper, it could be a Sprite.
Yellow colored Coke.
Yeah. What kind of Coke you want? That's what we ask people here. You know, my grandmother, I could be playing, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog, and she would walk in and be like, you playing that Nintendo?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Grandma played. Actually, she called it an Nintendo.
Oh, nice.
So
is that close to the outro?
Silent. But this, I mean, it's a company that's synonymous. The name Nintendo pretty much means video game, right? Yeah. And the idea that they would back away from that. Now, what I think that Furukawa is saying is, be prepared that if there ever is a time that a home console is not profitable for us, we probably won't do one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, going back to the business sense, right, Justin?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not going to make them money. They're not going to do it.
Correct. Yeah. Like ultimately in the end, folks, it's like, as much as you're like, why hasn't Nintendo released my favorite character in Smash? Why haven't I got my favorite game yet? Where is all of these? Meh, 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 meh. Insert whatever you want here. Guess what? It's ultimately about the dollars, folks. I hate to say it. I know it's your childhood dreams. I know it's your nostalgia. Whatever it is, it's all about the Benjamins. It's all about the dollar bills, y'all. Right? If it ain't going to make them money, they ain't going to do it. Is the idea. It's super simple economics because it's a business
that has to report to stockholders. Right now, unfortunately, Fire Emblem makes more money than F-Zero.
Yes.
That's you know why that is? It's because some of you who said that you like F-Zero didn't buy it.
Yeah. Like here's the reality. I love me Metroid. I love Metroid. We are big Metroid fans, right?
Yeah.
We're excited for the new Metroid Prime. Do you know why it took enough out of you? You know why it took us so long to make the Metroid Prime 4? Because guess what? Metroid traditionally is not a top-selling game for Nintendo, and definitely not in Japan. It's more Western than anything else. So guess what? Why are you putting time and energy in something that has a low return rate in relation to that selling?
Especially in the motherland.
Correct. Right. So, and that's why you see Fire Emblem everything, right? Because that sells well and they know it sells well.
Okay. I like this comment from Jamie. It says that we might need to diversify our IP to, if Nintendo does leave the console market, we can keep going. So then the Nintendo Dad's the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just
Chris Pratt would play me, obviously.
Oh, for sure he would. Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously. In our BFFs, he just doesn't know it.
Speaking of the chat, actually, before we get ready to transition on, because people are probably like, why are they still talking about business stuff? I do want to say happy birthday. Happy birthday to Elvis Sanchez, who's in our chat. And Elvis, thank you so much for your support of the show as well. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I do want to mention before we move on that we touched on very briefly is that Nintendo did announce this week that two new games are coming to Nintendo Switch Online, the Nintendo Entertainment System app, next week. Zelda 2 and Blaster Master are going to release on January 16th. I have a problem with this.
You and the rest of the internet, Doug.
Yeah. I have a problem with this because where's my third game? This is what I said as soon as this dropped. I said this in our Discord chat, and I'm going to reiterate it. You don't train people to expect three games for three monthly releases and all of a sudden go, two games.
Well, they've also trained us to expect an SP game of some flavor, which they never announce.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Can I say this?
I agree with you. Yeah,
the Zelda SP
was 4 or 5 in the terms.
The Zelda SP release was a fun surprise. The other SP games that have come out have sucked. I don't want two of the same of every game on there.
Well, all the SP games, I'm sure, will be.
I'm sure they will. But the Gradius SP was the laziest SP version ever.
Right. At least the Zelda one required some effort on some part to get there.
I make it special. Like, if you want to make it special, add something else to it. Like, the SP version for me would be like, make it the Famicom version with the save state, or give us something that we didn't have in the initial release. Right? I know that there's not much you can do unless you put like dev time into it, but like, give us the Zelda SP, like, make it the one that has the extra audio layer for the Famicom version. Or something like that.
We can just download the Famicom version.
Well, I know that, but for those of us who don't have a Japanese Switch account or whatever, all I'm saying is that if it's just going to be like 2 from now on. That's a little lame. And, like, where's Super Mario Brothers 2?
I did like the Dr. Yeah. Mario SP. Because I've never seen that cutscene before. Because I've never tried playing level 20 on high before.
Sure.
So.
I know what you're about to say. What, it's $20 a year, guys. Why complain?
No. I got distracted by something shiny. I apologize. I actually, like, to your point, actually.
I guess he's not looking at my forehead.
No, I actually agree with you here, Marty. I'm not gonna. You train people, right? You ring the bell and you know it's Pavlov's dog. Ring the bell, dog salivates, right? You rang the bell. Three games, two games. You're like, what the heck? Right. This actually worries me more from a long-term perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this was when, do you remember like when Nintendo was like, we're launching the Nintendo 64 games on whatever platform on the virtual. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. And there's like 2 and then 1. And then
a few months went by and 1, another one.
Right. This is actually my concern now. You're right. The interesting part is they have an amazing backlog. Like where is my Super Mario 2, right? Like you guys, I have, like, you know my love for that game, right? I'm going to be honest, like, and there are some good games on the Nintendo Switch Online service. I you know, I'm like, hey, yeah, I play that. But I'm like, nothing's super drawing me there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've played Super Mario 3 before, like, oh, I don't need to do that again, right? But nothing's really, really drawing me in. You put Super Mario 2 on, good night, son. Good night. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
And I want that experience. I want to play it with those detachable Joy-Con controller NES things.
Yeah.
I want it on the go. I might be ready to say that that's my favorite Mario game of all time.
Really?
Like it. See, yeah. Like,
see, you and
the
I,
absence you and of it. Because, see, here's the thing. When I had the Wii U and it was available,
yeah,
I would pop in and I would play it, and I would pop in and I would play it almost as much as I would pop in and play Mega Man 2.
Yeah. I think I made the statement on Sean Capri's We the Gamercast when I was on there a long time ago, that I have bought that game on every console that I have been able to have.
Yeah.
Just because it's so important to me. It's one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah.
I also think it's actually one of the most important games for Nintendo's franchise, believe it or not, for Super Mario. But that's just a little bit. We can have that conversation later. And also, if you all notice, after Marty and I have fought, see, we're making up. We're all friends now. We're huggy because we love this. The reason I laughed is I want to, you know, we're having this conversation about Nintendo and the console, and I go and refresh my podcasts and I listen to NVC. And NVC's title of this week's episode is, "Will Nintendo Stop Making Consoles?" ? So if you are listening to this episode right now and you want to be like, Justin doesn't know anything, I'm sure he's wrong, he's not a professional, he's not a game industry person, I'm willing to bet you go over and listen to NVC if you want like professional insider opinion, and it's going to probably mirror exactly what I just said or what we just said. And if not, I don't know. Again, I don't want to be like,
I have that episode right in my backlog. I just haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, and this isn't us trying to gloat and say like we're right, but if you listen to them, if you're not believing me, because I suspect that we're on the same page on that one.
I would say we're not far off.
Yeah. How did we get here? This is a rant.
I don't know, but the last thing I know is we were talking about how badly it sucks that they're giving us 2 games in January and not 3.
Yep, exactly.
Here's Justin, the point that you brought up, and we'll close it out on this, I think is an important one. And that is, you said this worries you about the future of this service. And I think that that's my big concern is that, you know, we had a solid, you know, 20 got released the first month, and then we had 3, which was really 4, right? Every month we had 4 a month with the SP releases.
And 1 month, Japan actually had 5 games. They had 2 SP games in a month.
Yeah. So we had the SP, you know, we had SPs for 3 months. So 4. So now we're up to 32 titles. And then now all of a sudden we're down to 2, if this is following tradition, we're going to get a SP version, which will make the 3.
Yep.
But what I guess the question I had was, well, are we going to get 2 SPs?
Yeah.
And the thing that's disappointing in that for me is that at least if I'm getting 3 games, I'm getting 3 new games.
Correct.
I'm not just getting an SP version of a game I already have that I may not play anyway.
Yeah, how many SPs do we have now? Because, I mean, you're essentially, yeah, like, if you've got, you know, and again, I don't know the numbers, so I'm just taking a look at the system right now. If you've got 30 games on there and five of them are SPs, right, then you've got about a 15% are not new content, right? And I think that's the thing is, I'm looking at this now, one, two, three, four. We have four SPs. We have Zelda, Gradius, Dr. Mario, and Metroid. Yeah, it's concerning, right? Like, I'm a little bit worried about it, to be completely honest. I'm also worried about this, like, will these games eventually expire off the system? So what I mean by that is, right, I mean, you know, if we use the...
Is there going to be a point where they're like, soccer has been available for a year?
Yeah, it's gone now, right? When we use when we use, like, the Netflix kind of analogy that we've talked about, Netflix removes videos or movies after a certain amount of time. Yeah, can we all of a sudden get mail in June?
Have a chance of it when the licensing agreement expires?
Yeah.
Sure. First party games, I doubt it.
Do you think for any chance a second there, Jesse, that Nintendo might take back something that they currently own as an IP and then say, hey, if you really like this, if you want, hit now to purchase it for a euro, a pound, and it's yours permanently? Really? Really? I don't want to try to sound like Nintendo's an evil company.
How we originally thought this was going to be when they made it sound like games were only going to be available month to month, and then if we wanted to keep it, we had to buy it. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, I'm glad we're getting Zelda 2, because I think that's an underrated game. I do like that game, even though it's really, really hard. I'm glad to be able to get the
end section, trying to get to the final dungeon, and couldn't make it.
I'm glad to get the chance to play it again, and especially play it on the go. I think it's an important game for the Zelda franchise. But where's that third game? You know, like, I'm going to sit and I'm going to wonder what it is, because I really, really want Super Mario 2. I really, really want Kirby's Adventure. I really would like some of those other games that are notable NES games.
Yeah.
Let's get them on there. You know, and I know that the strategy is spread them out so that people subscribe and they stay the subscribers and they see what's coming next. But
it'll be very
two when you already have an online service that's criticized and people are very critical of in any way, which, by the way, we tried to do a community online event tonight for Mario Kart 8 and it was crap. People couldn't get in. It was putting people in different rooms, even though you're supposed to be able to play with 12 people. We had less than 12. It wouldn't let some people in. Brian from South Carolina, he couldn't even connect. So people are already critical about this. And then you take the benefit of the $20 a year thing. You know, you're getting three games a month and you drop it to two.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do in February. Is this going to be a trend or is this just an outlier, right?
I'm going to say if we see two games in February, that's what we're going to see in 2019.
Yeah, it's tough to say.
But maybe, you know, but maybe they're doing away with one NES game to eventually bring in Super Nintendo games.
I'm not going down this conversation with you
right now. Come
on. Well, I think I found your third game.
Yeah?
Josh mentioned that Japan's getting three games.
Yeah, they are.
I looked it up to find out what the third game is. It's a game called Joy Mech Fight, which apparently does have a representation in Smash in a spirit or a trophy or something. But that was a game that never came to North America.
Yeah, Tsukapon is in Smash, and he's annoying as...
Yeah, Sis Trophy Tsukapon. So that's kind of how... I guess that's how they're handling it. They're not giving us the game that they don't get if they have a game that we don't get.
Interesting.
Kind of sucks for us, but I can understand it.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't want to take the time to translate it.
No.
Yeah. All right, speaking of taking time, let's finish up the news here with a couple of final news items I thought would be fun to mention. Monster Boy, FDG Entertainment. I'm actually playing this game right now, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom. It's fantastic. Justin and his opinion of it kind of sold me on it. But FDG Entertainment reported this week that Monster Boy has sold eight times more on the Switch than the PS4 and Xbox One units combined. Which is an insane number.
Not surprising.
No, it's a Switch effect, right? We've seen it with Blossom Tale. Yeah. Well, again, we've seen it with lots of other titles.
I've said this before. Nintendo has Switch owners and, Wii U and 3DS owners kind of trained to check eShop and buy digital content. The other two, not as much. You know, they give away free content digitally, but that's what people go for, but they don't actually go out and try to buy digital content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a huge shock, right? And I think that, you know, the more and more stories we always hear about even when it's dual console, right, is that people like taking games like this on the go, right? Easy, accessible games. So it's not a huge shock.
This is a game that even just the type of game and the presentation of the game is straight up a Nintendo game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is a game you would expect to see on a Nintendo console.
Yeah. For those of you that might miss the title again, that one is Monster Boy, and that did come out in December. One of my top picks, actually. And I'm having a great
time. I had to skip it in December due to money, but sure. I'm glad that I picked it up. Man, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk about it a little bit more in the show. Pokemon Go news. This weekend, there will be a community Pokemon Go event that will spawn Totodiles from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. If it is evolved into Feraligatr up until 6 p.m., it will have the exclusive move Hydro Cannon that is only available at this time. Lures are going to last 3 hours instead of 30 minutes, and egg incubators will have 4 times the effectiveness when you place an egg in the incubator at that time. Existing eggs do not apply. And then on the 19th, starting the 19th, limited research tasks will be available that will spawn a Phoebus when completed. I don't think that's a real Pokemon.
It is.
Phoebus?
Yes.
Okay. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
How would you say it?
Don't ask. Just move on.
Wobble Puppet?
Yeah.
Wobble Puppet? Wobble Buffet?
There it is.
You son of a...
Anyway, you also get a chance at a shiny Phoebus. Phoebus can evolve into a Milotic after walking into 40 kilometers spinning.
These aren't even real words you're saying. Like, just give Phoebus, it up.
Milotic, Wobble Puppet.
That's why I don't read the Pokemon section.
Phoebus can evolve into a Milotic after walking as a buddy for 20 kilometers and then spending 100 candies.
Yeah. I'm going to evolve into what we've been playing. Let's do it.
No, evolve into Justin's predictions.
Oh, I'm sorry. We almost forgot your prediction since you could
literally,
you know,
people are here for the predictions.
Please understand.
Justin, what are your predictions for 2019? By the way, let's just go ahead and say it so you can rub it in that you were the most right. You were the most right, and you had some scary clairvoyance, especially about Luigi's Mansion.
Damn right I was. Damn right.
So let's hear those 2019 predictions from you.
I want to take this moment. Thank you, my loyal listeners and fans, for showing up to my predictions today. I appreciate that. So kind of you to be here. If you want, take a pen and paper and write these down, because you can bring these right to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. These are the 2019 Justin Masson, the 2018 champions predictions for Nintendo. Buckle in, folks. Here we go. All right. Prediction number one. You will get more DLC announced for titles in 2019.
That's like saying I'm going to eat bacon in 2019. That is the most vague prediction.
Yeah, I'm successful
there
by bacon.
There shall be more digital content in 2019.
He plans on keeping that title.
Exact. Damn right I do. But what I mean by that is that you will see more of your first-party games continue to get DLC. I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say specifically Mario Odyssey DLC. You will see in 2019 Mario Odyssey DLC.
That's just because you made a video about it.
like Nintendo listens to my videos. Although I think sometimes I do. My next prediction is that Pikmin 4 will be hinted or teased this year. And if for bonus points, I think specifically at E3, we may get a teaser video or a trailer or an image logo. I think we are, and that is going to be a 2020 game. That will not be a 2019. I don't think we ever mentioned
Pikmin last week, did we?
I think somebody did.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think it was already teased years ago. Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, years ago.
I thought it was done years ago. Miyamoto's like, Pikmin 4 is done.
I think you will see Overwatch come to the Nintendo Switch. I think this will also be E3. And I also believe you will see Fortnite Save the World come to the Nintendo Switch. My next prediction is that there will be less than 7 3DS games in 2019 available.
Less than 7 3DS games releasing in 2019.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, got it.
I also believe that you will considerably see more third parties get on board with Nintendo. So this is going to be the year of like the third party gates opening wide, and you're going to see a ton of third party games hitting the Switch. And you're going to hear more day and date. Like, this game will be with, you know, same date, same release as this. It's not a question anymore about bringing it to the Switch. It's coming to the Switch, and is it coming the same day as everyone else? My other prediction there is that you will get a Mario multiplayer sports game in June of 2019. We won't know about this game until for the next couple of months. I suspect it'll be either a monster, Mario Sluggers, Mario Golf, Mario Soccer. Something like that.
I really wish it was going to be that like volleyball wrestling hybrid that they showed off for the, you know, at one point for like late Wii, early Wii U.
Yeah. The other components I will say here as well is we will get a Metroid Prime trilogy. And that will be, and I'm going to say, so we're going to get it in 2019. I'm going to say the launch window for that is going to be August of 2019. What was the other one I had? Is there any other ones I had?
You said this is Prime 4?
No, this is Prime Trilogy. Prime Trilogy. Yeah, Prime Trilogy. I'm taking a little bit of like large swings of the fences too. What else is the other one I had? I think that's it. I think those are my predictions.
It's a solid list.
I think so.
It's a little safe.
You think so?
In some places. The Mario sports title is not safe. At all.
Let's try to think of some of the other ones.
The Mario Odyssey DLC is not safe. Okay, I'll walk that back. It's not all that safe.
Any other ones? I think you'll see... I was going to say, like, I called last year Amiibo certain numbers. I don't think I'm going to call that one just because it's actually a little bit of... Like, we know some of those things because of the Smash DLC... Amiibos, you can kind of do the math and figure out.
Yeah, I think I did. I did that exact thing last week.
I don't want to do that one. Super Nintendo online Nintendo games will be coming in 2019.
You're agreeing with mine.
Yeah, I do think that will come this year. I don't think we are going to get a classics this year, so no classics in 2019.
I don't think any of us mentioned that. I think we said that we would get a classic.
And we're going to get two Nintendo mobile games. We know one of them definitely will be Mario Kart. Oh, and I believe that Mario Kart for the Switch will be teased for 2020. Let me clarify that as well. That could be potentially DLC, or that could be a new Mario Kart. More Mario Kart is coming to the actual Switch. Okay. Not just the mobile device.
Yeah. So I have a post prediction. Like, This one was not on mine, but it is something that I have been preoccupied with over the last week that I cannot quit. And I have to say it. I have to blurt it. I really think it's going to happen. And here it is. I predict that Pokemon will be delayed.
Well, that almost matches mine.
The thing is that the look on Justin's face tells me that he doesn't think I'm all that wrong.
So remember what I said about Pokemon Gen 8 last week? I said that it'll incorporate too much of what it learned from Let's Go, and the fan base will cry. So the fan base will cry with yours too.
Just saying. I think it's going to be delayed.
That'll be a fun one to see if you're right or wrong.
And if it's not even a real prediction because it wasn't on the prediction show.
Nope. It's real now.
Someone put that on our doc. Oh, interesting.
That's fine. Put it in there. It's good. Justin, those are some good predictions.
Thanks, guys.
Michael,
we will see how 2019 turns out for all of us. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing in this new year, shall we?
Sure.
I think it's been a month since I pushed that button.
That's right. And since it's been a while since Mr. Masson has got to be with us, Justin, we're going to start with you this week.
He was probably on the last time I pushed that button.
Sure.
What have you been playing?
So I have kind of made a New Year's resolutions, folks. You know how a lot of people, especially in January, go through like, hey, I'm setting a New Year's resolution to lose weight, and I'm on some juice diets, and I'm cleansing myself, and I'm not drinking for January. I am doing a backlog cleanse is what I'm doing.
Unless you get mystery whiskey in your Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, exactly. There's that too. Right? But I'm doing a backlog cleanse. So what I'm trying to do is finish off some games that have been sitting in my docket for 2019. So I have two. So like gaming resolution is backlog docket or backlog cleanup. And the second resolution is expanding my video game palette. And what I mean by that is that traditionally,
a Picross game.
When I'm not that stupid. Oh. When Jesse talks about some of the games he's interested in, like Picross, I would, that's not for me. It's not for me. So I've decided that I'm going to try and expand some of my video game horizons and try different games. So a couple of games I picked up, I have not yet officially started playing with them, include Diablo 3.
I'm still laughing at my joke.
And Xenoblade Chronicles, right? So you guys have kind of known. And so these were two games, one in 2017, one in 2018, that were very popular. The kind of the mind share people had expressed a lot of interest in. And I never decided to jump into because those are not Justin games. So I'm going to, in 2019, try games that are not Justin games and try and increase my scope a little bit. Now, that is separate of what I've been playing a little bit. But what I have been playing is I've been trying to clean a little bit of my backlog. So I've been playing The Messenger and going to start free-to-play. Started playing Fire Emblem. I don't know, Michael, let's not talk crazy now. We'll see how that looks, all right? But I'm playing The Messenger, playing my backlog. Love The Messenger. I know they have met the Kind of Funny team at their Kind of Funny Showcase announced that there's DLC coming in 2019. So I wanted to make sure that I had finished the game prior to that for the DLC as well. So playing a little bit of The Messenger. The other game I'm playing, and now, so you might be saying, well, hold on, Justin, that's a new game. What are you saying? There are times that we are also given review copies that we need to do work on. So and that is not just kind of like, hey, I'm picking up because I really enjoy it. The other game I have been playing or played a bit of was Hive Jump. And this is available now on the Nintendo Switch eShop. And this is, I feel like someone at a pitch meeting said, what would Starship Troopers look like if it was a video game, 2D or side-scrolling platform, a platform procedurally generated 16-bit game
I was going to say, wasn't this a video game at one point?
Exactly, it was. In the vein of Contra. And that is High Jump. And it's definitely encouraged. You can play one player, but I think it is definitely one of those games that four-player party is probably a little bit more fun around it. But your objective is to kind of clear out these levels of alien bugs, and you're this kind of like trooper with a blaster. And it's very interesting because one of the primary things is it just uses your ZLZR as kind of your jump and your fire. And it's a game that, again, I think it's fun to play. I think it's like $10 on the eShop. If you're looking for something different, I think it's worth maybe some time or picking it up. I don't think it's the best, greatest game in the world, but it's fun. It does its job to get you going. We do have a video of a Let's Play up on the channel if you want to check that up on our YouTube channel as well. But Hive Jump has been what I've been playing, and it was all right.
Awesome. Jesse, what about, man, you've got a kind of long list here. Tell us about some of these games you've been playing.
Yeah, Jesse, you got to trim that down, buddy.
Some of these games have been sitting in this dock for 3 weeks. So I won't talk long on some of them. So last time I talked about a game, I talked about Phantasy Star. I was started to play them on the Switch. I had since finished it, and my thoughts are it's got a very good start, and it seems logical and straightforward. You get to a point, you get stuck, you have to go somewhere else, get an item to unlock where you need to go, etc. When you get to about two-thirds, halfway-ish, it just seems to all fall apart. And unless you're playing it with a walkthrough, you have no idea what you're doing. And the other thing that caught me off guard, throughout the entire game, you always know how many hit points your enemy has. Except for the final boss. There, nope, you don't see a UI. Good luck. Keep pounding away, because you'll get there eventually. You just have no idea when.
It's an interesting design choice.
I know. I enjoyed it. It was a fun play, and I liked how it integrated like the early first-person view of a maze, which back in the day you would have had to have your own graph paper and map it out yourself. The Switch version will auto map it for you. You can choose to turn it off, but why would you want to? It does also indicate where pitfalls are before you reach them in the map. So that's kind of nice. So you don't only find them by tripping in them, because there is an ability to disarm the trap. And sometimes you need to do that to go continue. And that took me a while to figure out. Sometimes you need to hit to fall into the trap to get to the lower level to continue on. So it's still a hit or miss. But again, it's a fun game. Just know that the back end, if you don't have a walkthrough, good luck. Okay.
I'm looking at your list here. Can you? I want to hear about Donut County.
Okay, I'll go there next. I bought Donut County, but I didn't buy it on the Switch because it was $12 on the Switch, $5 on iPad, and I heard that the game is kind of designed with touchscreen with a touch interface in mind. So trying to play with a joystick would have been miserable. So I just bought it on the iPad. And it's an interesting little puzzle game. It's got maybe 16 to 20 levels in it. Most of them are kind of just brain dead, do the thing until you're done. There's really no logic into it. But when you get near the end, then you do have to like swallow things. Basically, you have a remote-controlled hole that you can control around and have things fall in it. The more things that fall on it, the hole expands, letting you then absorb bigger items until eventually what was the big rock at the back of the house, that mm-hmm. eventually fall in the hole, to clear the level type of thing. So again, early on, there's no logic at all, but later on you have to do certain things in certain order. You'll have access to fireworks. So you have to, but you also have water around. So if your hole is full of water, you can't have anything fall in it, so you have to find a bird to drink the water. And then you can, if you have a campfire, you can, when you swallow the campfire and then anything else that falls into it, it could catch on flames. So then you can fire your fireworks that way. And then it has a pretty interesting boss fight. I almost died trying to figure out what I needed to do, but I ended up winning without having to repeat myself. So.
It sounds very Katamari Damacy kind of thing.
It is, kind of. In a way. But, like, it's more of a, you do this, and you drop this in the hole, which causes this to happen, which then will allow you to go here, which will then allow you to do that, especially in those levels with water and fire and different things like this. I played this over Thanksgiving break on my iPhone. I was not really taken with it. I don't know. I found the characters really annoying.
The characters were annoying, especially all of the raccoons. That's really the
main reason I can't finish Night in the Woods. I think the concept of the game is pretty good, but the characters get on my nerves.
Yeah, there is a story to it. Most of the story is told like in flashbacks.
Yeah.
Which lead up into when the story game when the game starts, and then you go to the end. Very much like Persona 5. Persona 5 starts with a flashback to catch up to what's now, and then the game finishes. So it's again, if you're gonna play it and you have a mobile device, I'd recommend using the mobile device. This game might be hard to play on the Switch, because it does play easier on a touchscreen, but with the smaller screen of the Switch, I wouldn't have wanted to try to play this on my phone.
Yeah.
So I think the iPad worked well.
It's also probably a lot cheaper on an iPad version.
Oh, yeah, it was $5 versus $12 on the Switch. Okay, so speaking of going through backlogs, I jokingly commented back when it released that I was looking at a magical high school girl. Someone in the chat instantly said, you should buy it and let us know what you think. So I'm like, okay, I bought it, but then never played it. Finally started it, and I don't know if it starts out as a roguelike. I don't know if that's all it is, or if I get to a certain point, the game changes up. I haven't gotten that far. I've never got past level 5. But as you play the game, you gain items, and you gain spells, of which most of the spells seem to be just as good as previous spells. So why would I switch? I'd rather use the one with the lower uses the least magic point. I'll explain why shortly. So, and then when you die, you lose all your items, but you keep all your spells. So you don't have to start over with your spell inventory. You have magic points and you have hit points. Hit points in the terms of bottles of milk. So think like Legend of Zelda's hearts. You start with 3 hearts. And you can have a fraction of a heart, you can have a fraction of a milk bottle. Then you have a magic point pool. I think it starts with 40, and then as you level up, it increases. This is where it gets weird. As long as you have at least 1 hit point, your magic points will replenish. You run out of hit points, your magic points will no longer replenish naturally. But you can do so with some items. When your magic points reaches 0, that's when you die. So it took me a while to get my head wrapped around that one. And then when you get to around level 4 or 5, you're dealing with higher hit point monsters that requires either stronger spells to kill or, you know, 2 attacks with your weaker spells. But then you're using more of your mana to cast the spells, putting you more at risk of death. So I'm like, I don't know where the balance is. I haven't found it yet. So I wanted to look through a walkthrough just to see what more in this game is, or if this is it. I just have to get to level N and I win. Or is there more to it once I get past this section? I haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
So if you're into roguelikes, give it a try. I know Marty is. I have traditionally not enjoyed roguelikes. but just because it has more of an anime style, that's kind of
kept if Nintendo playing. Allowed us to have folders on our Switches, I would have an entire folder labeled roguelike. If and, one of these days and they'll remember.
Speaking of folders, the last game I've been playing is Pick Up Picks Pieces, which originally started out being the Christmas demo, which they released first, you know, back before Christmas. So Pick Up Picks Pieces is just like Pick Up Picks Color, except for when you solve a puzzle, it's a small part of a larger puzzle. So before, every puzzle is its own picture, and that's it. But now you start out with like a 3x4 grid, so of 12 puzzles. And then I think I'm working on a 4x6 puzzle, so it's 24 puzzles, each of 15x15. So that alone will take me 2 or 3 hours to do.
So just more of the same as far as Pick a Picks, right?
Yeah, it's more of the same, but each puzzle doesn't make a full picture. Sometimes knowing is a picture. You can kind of make educated guesses, figuring this might be symmetrical, so let me try this. But here, you don't have that because you don't have the whole picture at once. So you really have to watch the clues. So they put out a Christmas demo first. They had two Christmas scenes. Then the game launched last week, which includes the two Christmas demo puzzles and two additional puzzles that was released in today's demo that we launched today. So there's two demos out there if you want to give it a try. If you like it, the game wasn't too expensive. Let me look it up real quick. It was $8 for like 300 puzzles. So definitely worth it if you know you'll go through them.
Awesome. As for me, I've been playing more Smash. I've been working my way through the World of Light, single player mode, and just encountered, without spoiling it, just encountered a big surprise. I thought I was almost done, and I am not. So it's been a lot of fun. I was initially frustrated by World of Light, but when I unlocked characters that I was more confident with, as far as like characters I actually play more of, it really opened up and I've really begun to enjoy it. So it's fun seeing all the little variations and seeing, you know, like corners of Nintendo history and everything that I didn't expect, and watching the way they do things. So I've been playing that, got really into the spirit board stuff during the Mario spirit board, promotion, and the playing with power promotion that they did where everything was like classic characters, even though I missed a bunch of them. Right now they're doing a double XP and I think double SP event in the spirit board that started today. So I'll be dipping back into that a little bit. But I've also been playing 13 AM Games' brand new game, Double Cross, which we got a review code for. This game I didn't even know existed. And Justin asked if I thought I might be interested in it because of some strong kind of, allusions to Mega Man, right? In the way it looks and in the way it plays. And the only way that I know to describe this game, and I'm going to just say this, is it's like Shantae mixed with Ace Attorney.
Objection.
Shantae mixed with Ace Attorney. And why I say that is because the art style to me is very Shantae. A lot of the way the characters, like when they talk and interact, it's Shantae. It's Metroidvania, like that type of game. But in the levels, you're going to find all these different things, you know, when you complete certain levels. And the premise of the game is that you're working for an intergalactic detective agency called Rift, which is infiltrated or is attacked by Suspect X. And they believe it's someone from inside of Rift. And you're unraveling the mystery, trying to figure out who it is. And so you have all these colorful characters that you can go around and you can show evidence to as you build your case. And so the more evidence you're able to collect and the more people you're able to connect that evidence to, the faster the case opens up and you're able to do more. There's upgrades for your character. It's a lot of fun. There is some really tricky platforming. One of the big mechanics of the game is the plasma slinger, which is kind of like it's like the plasma beam in Metroid where you can latch onto things and you can swing with it, except this one like pulls you to them. So you can like sling yourself over gaps, or you can catch something that kinda, but also that like you can use it to catch things that are being thrown at you and then throw them back.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So there's some combat mechanic that comes with it too. For the most part, the game is pretty solid. I have found some things that probably will get ironed out with patches. It's a little jumpy, a little frame rate dips in places. Also, there are parts of it that can be pretty repetitive. The combat is pretty repetitive. And it's really not all that hard. I mean, they just kind of throw these enemies at you and you beat them up and you knock them off a platform and boom, there you go. You do unlock upgrades by finding these like purple upgrade stones in the worlds, and that will help you level up and actually be able to use different attacks and different techniques and things like that. But so far, having put about 3-4 hours into it, it's a pretty solid game. I think it's a good game. It's good to see 13AM, kind of branch out and try something completely different after Runbow. It would have been easy to make like Runbow 2, but this is a completely different game for them. And there's a video of it over on our YouTube channel if you want to go check it out. It's like it's a 20-minute video. It's an entire level of Reptaria, which is one of the three levels that you're able to go to in the very beginning. There's the Thunderdome and Gootopia and Reptaria, all of which have different unique looks and challenges and different things you've got to do there. I recommend it. And right now it's 25% off on the eShop as a launch special. So yeah, if Shantae mixed with Detective...
Normal price is 20.
Yeah. Yeah. If Shantae mixed with Ace Attorney Detective type work sounds appealing to you, you should run over there.
I might give that one a look.
Yeah. I actually do think you would like it. So that's what I've been playing.
Cool.
All right. Let's move into our final little part of the show here, the community spotlight.
Do it.
And guys, I honestly don't think that we have anything this week from listeners and things like that, other than I do want to emphasize something, and we are not great about this, but I do want to promote this. Super cool patron of the show, Drew, over on our Discord server, has been doing tournaments over the last few months, and season one of that tournament just wrapped up. John Blanco is the winner, of course, by a long shot. Drew wrapped this up, man. Like, honestly, one of the most epic final tournament sections ever, encompassing like 12 or 15 different games. It even encompassed Nintendo Dad's merchandise to be able to let you get some points. But that just wrapped up. And right now, season two has begun. And if you are a patron of the show, go over and check out the Let's Play channel on our Discord so that you can get in. And the tournament right now is Smash Brothers. And all the details are there in an image in the Let's Play channel. But shout out to Drew. Thanks for organizing these tournaments and being so great and kind of being the in-dad's game master, if you will. He also helped organize the pre-show gaming event tonight that we're going to try to have, on a weekly, semi-weekly basis. And so we just wanted to say shout out to him and shout out to others who are participating in that. Go over and get yourself some of that tournament action. Don't miss out on it at all. Guys, I think that's our show.
Yeah, I think so. A couple of things that I would want to What was I thinking here? Oh, public service announcement. If you are in the UK region, the EU region, and you have been looking forward to getting some new amiibo, so this is the Piranha Plant, the Sea Ice Climber, and the King K. Rool. Those are now available on the Nintendo UK shop online. There is a one per limit order, so make sure that you go in there and check that out now. Those will move fast, and they run out of stock quickly, so if that is something that interests you, do it. Do it indeed. What is it that's going on over here? Sorry. Gotta... something in the chat going on there. Let's just see. Let's see here, guys. Anything else that we can think of?
No.
I think that's it. Hold on. I had a couple of public service announcements. So. I did. That was my one. And then, like, my notifications woke up at 6 o'clock, and everything just flooded my laptop, so I can't see what's going on over here. Hold on a second.
Isn't that great?
Okay. Nope. Okay.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to close out episode 212 of Nintendo Dads. This way, we want to say huge thanks to our four Patreon producers, Chris Mears, John Blanco, Dave Ernsberger, and Timothy Off, as well as all of our patrons all the way down from the $30 level to the $1 level. You guys are awesome. We could not do this without you. And thank you so much for getting us ever closer this week to 100 patrons over on Patreon. We are 9 away. Interested to see who number 100 is going to be. You can head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads to support us anywhere from $1 a month all the way up. Some amazing rewards over there. Thanks to you and the rest of our community. You can follow us on social media at Nintendo Dads. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, wherever we're at, just search Nintendo Dads, and we are there. You can email us at NintendoDads@gmail.com. You can even call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS, or that's 929-256-3237. And if you want to buy some sweet Nintendo Dads merchandise, go over to tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore, which is all lowercase. And you can find some really cool stuff over there for you and your loved ones. Big thanks to OC Remix for the music used throughout the show. And thanks to Connor Johnson and Adam Leonard for all the sweet art that we use on a weekly basis. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, this has been episode 212 of the Nintendo Dads. Bye-bye.
Maple syrup mousses.